me take you to my pillow real quick before we go to Rebecca. I know we're running behind tonight. MyPillow.com. What I want you to do, folks, let you in on a little secret. You see this down here? You see that right there where it says, if you go to MyPillow.com, okay, start out at the top, then go down here to where it says Radio Podcast. See that? Radio Podcast Specials. Click that. I'm going to show you a back door to a special. Then, right there. If you go to MyPillow.com, normal page, it's going to say $49.99 for those sheets that were $99.98. But if you come and get in here like I just told you, through that button, through that radio podcast specials, again, you start out at the top of MyPillow.com, come on down the page till you see Mike Lindell with headphones on right there, radio podcast specials, click that, and then look, you can get this six-piece towel set for $25, was $99.98, then $49.99, now just $25. Six-piece towel set, folks. There you go. If you don't think this is a good deal, then I guess I don't know what to tell you. Because this would be great for a wedding gift, for Mother's Day. Well, that's yesterday. Father's Day. Maybe Dad needs some new towels for his bathroom. There you go. Graduation gifts for the kids going to college. There you go. Why not buy them now and save a lot of money? And if you have used the My Pillow towel, you know they work. They actually dry you. My wife won't use anything but. She uses the other ones now for the dog. Everything has got to be a My Pillow towel because she has become a true believer after trying them. So you will too. $25, folks. Use that promo code B66. You have to use the code B66 to drop the price down to that $25, all right? Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and much more were brought to you by you. Take advantage of it, all right, folks? While supplies last. All right, joining me now is Rebecca Walzer. I was just looking for my dog. She's not in here. Rebecca Walzer is with us tonight. She also has a couple labs. I only have one. Rebecca, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. Glad to be here.
And how about that lineup for the Ozarks?
It's amazing. I'm just so excited. It's going to be a thrill to be with you guys. And what an event. I'm so excited.
Yeah. And you guys are all there live in person. We're going to have an awesome time. All right. Let's talk about a few things. One of them is this debt ceiling. That's coming up June 1st, I believe, around the 1st of June. What does this mean to the average person watching? And could this be used to debase the U.S. currency to justify bank crisis and other things and roll us into digital currencies? How could all the fear with banks and by the way, I'm looking again at numbers today about how much money has gone out of the banks because people are getting their money out of the banks. There's already been a digital run of the banks. It's just being underreported by the mainstream media. So how would the increasing of the debt ceiling fit into this, what seems like an orchestrated and manufactured chaos to push us to digital currency and the enslavement thereof?
Wow. You're so on point with that, Brandon. It's so true. So what's happening right now is literally actually crazy if you think about it, because we actually had all of these announcements in January of this year. In other words, Yellen did a whole circuit tour of all media and went out and said what we call our X date, the date that we would no longer be able to actually pay bills because we are right now what she calls and what the Federal Reserve labels extraordinary measures. In other words, we are already past the debt ceiling. But the Treasury through Yellen is using extraordinary measures to continue to pay bills. And what she stated in January of this year was that she expected that by June, we would actually no longer have anything left that was extraordinary and that we would actually be able to, we would be in a position of defaulting. So what I want everyone to process and understand is that Congress was sat, the new Congress from the 2022 election that we had in November was sat in January. She announced this in January. They just had their first Republican Biden multi-party conversation last Tuesday, May the 9th. And the results from that, just Google the news, are that it was horrible. It accomplished nothing. They are so far apart. The Democrats want first of all, Biden is taking a lesson from Obama from 2011. What happened with Obama in 2011 was exactly what's happened to Biden. 2 years into their presidency, the House flipped from basically both Obama and Biden had blue House, blue Senate. 2 years into Obama's presidency, the House flipped to red, and we had a debt ceiling crisis in 2011. 2 years into Biden's presidency, the House again flips to red, and we again have a debt ceiling problem. So Biden, as vice president, learned the lesson from Obama to not negotiate with the Republicans, because Obama was actually having discussions with them, and it just wasn't getting resolved, and it didn't get resolved until the Friday before the Monday where we were actually going to default. That lateness of that negotiation basically made S&P, Standard & Poor's, to downgrade our U.S. treasuries and our U.S. bonds. And so it cost us billions of dollars in extra interest because they couldn't get their act together. And ironically, even though Yellen did the media circuit and announced to the world, we've got to get this resolved before June, here we are, May 15th, and no resolution.
So what does it mean for the strength of the dollar? What does it mean for our position on the world stage? What does it mean for gold? What does it mean for interest rates? How will this impact the average person watching tonight?
So the de-dollarization of the world, Brandon, is happening faster than I can process it. And to give you a technical specification mathematically so that your viewers can understand how fast we are, for the first time ever, for the first time ever, in March, the buy trade dollar currency denominated sales in China for the first time ever in March were surpassed the dollar into the Chinese yuan. So we now see that China itself is transacting with the rest of the world now and more denominations of yuan, their currency, than US dollar. That is the first time that has ever happened, ever. When I say that, what I mean is since China's been part of the World Trade Organization in 2001 when they joined, and since China's been sort of the outsourced country of infrastructure for the world. So this de-dollarization is happening so much faster than people can wrap their heads around. What I'm starting to see is I thought it was just a three-part convergence. I now see a four-part convergence of four different disciplines. So certainly we know that healthcare, you talked about that at the beginning of your show. Obviously, Dr. Peter McCullough talks about this immensely. We know. So we saw the healthcare and the militarization and the loss of freedom in that. So there's the healthcare. Then there's the economics, there's the de-dollarization, there's the moving to central bank digital currency, there's all of those things. Then there's the military. So those were the three that we had already sort of seen and we already knew. I tied together in my podcast about the healthcare, the military aspects, because if you go to the CDC website, unless they take it down because I'm saying this publicly, you can look for yourself at the concept called human shielding, green zones. You can see that they've already got the FEMA camps really set up across the United States to put us back into concentration camps like they did with the Japanese in World War II in our country on our own soil. So that is already all in place. But now what I'm seeing is this fourth leg that I have known a lot about just because of the nature of what I do. But it's been very obscured from the public. And that is now being finally brought forward, where we are actually having corporations now talking about layoffs because of this. And of course, what I'm talking about is AI. AI is now literally being finally released to the public. I think people are going to be scared when they start to actually learn how far technology is. And it reminds me of Project Mockingbird and the CIA with Hollywood, because, you know, you see like Terminator, Rise of the Machines, these things that happened in the 80s. But remember, Skynet was satellites in the sky that had GPS coordinated abilities. And, you know, even the liquefied metal and the ability for metal to shift shapes. I can't prepare people enough for the amount of information that's going to be forthcoming as how far technology is. And what we're finally now starting to get people to realize, and Google specifically, I think that Google ad revenue is 2 years from being completely or less, completely over. And that is their number one source of ad revenue. And they're very aware at Google that they have to constantly change. And because ChatGPT is just such a superior search functionality, I mean, it will. My son doesn't know anything about finance. He's in the 9th grade, and he's literally got a YouTube channel where he's creating fake finance podcasts using ChatGPT. Now, if you don't think this is upsetting for somebody who spent over 10 years in college and worked for over 20 years and, you know, all over the financial world, this is very frustrating, but this is how far things have come. So what we're seeing now, it started in the actual fast food, Arby's, Burger King, all of these.
I reported all that in my news tonight.
I know. I this is what I'm saying. It's finally now they're starting to finally say, yeah, we are going to displace. And they always, unfortunately, start with the blue collar workers. So it is not that. It is not that at all. Like I said to you before, I think, Brandon, on one of your shows, I mean, if you can tap into an artificial intelligence database, it can reason and make arguments, and you have all of the legal history of all cases that have ever been decided that are applicable to that jurisdiction, you don't need a lawyer. What you don't need a lawyer writing arguments. You don't. It's just,
it's
and surgeons, robotic surgery. I mean, brain surgeons, you know, anesthesiologists, everything is replaceable. And people do not believe that. And they don't believe it to their detriment. Everything, every job, every human job is replaceable. And that is the irony, Brandon, that we think that we can create our artificial intelligence to be that smart, yet it's not smart enough to bypass us humans. And that, of course, is the whole Terminator series, right? Like the Rise of the Machines, they become sentient. There's a law, a lawsuit right now between an ex-Google engineer and Google, Alphabet, about the fact that he publicly said that their AI is sentient, which means that it is thought, it can think. So there's a lot going on this year. But to your point specifically, I am very curious how we got a warning 5 months ago that this was going to happen in summertime. And here we are on May 15th, and we are so far apart. And Biden, taking the cue from Obama, now saying, and has been saying, that he doesn't want to tie the debt ceiling talks to spending cuts, which is just literally, they say this as if it makes any kind of logical, reasonable sense. Of course, it does not. If you are not going to discuss what gets you to the point of being at the ceiling because you cannot, you know, control your spending, then when are you going to discuss it?
Exactly.
And I love the logic that they put out there. It's all in all the articles that you read about it. You know, the Democratic Party doesn't feel they should have to negotiate the ceiling and spending together because the debt ceiling only allows Congress to pay what they've already authorized in the past. Well, that is so dumb. That's like saying, because we've already decided to be bankrupt, let's just go ahead and spend the money that we've decided to spend, even though we are actually bankrupt. That's not how people actually work. They say, gosh, we seem to keep having this problem. We hit the debt limit ceiling in 2021. We seem to keep having this problem. Maybe we actually need to sit down and come to some fiscal constraint about this.
At the same time, they've opened the borders up, giving people bus tickets, plane tickets. They're giving them cell phones. I mean, this is, and of course, we're now going to have to pick up their health care, their education, hire more police, hire more teachers. Where, you know, who's going to pay for their health care? I mean, I got like 5 minutes and I want to run this through this. Look at this. You know about this. We've shown this before, but I want to come back to it because it makes more sense now. This was put out by the Federal Reserve. Money and payments, the U.S. dollar in the age of digital transformation. This is just a PowerPoint, guys. So if you want to pull that down, I'll go to the next slide. It's not a PowerPoint. That's the point. I didn't have time to drop it all into a PowerPoint. So pull that down. I'll go to the next JPEG that I want to show her. Because I was reading through this today. Here we go. A central bank digital currency is defined as a digital liability of the Federal Reserve that is widely available to the general public. While Americans have long held money predominantly in digital form, for example, in bank accounts recorded as computer entries on commercial bank ledgers, a CBDC would differ from existing digital money available to the general public because a CBDC would be a liability of the Federal Reserve, not a commercial bank. Okay, so obviously what this is going to mean, as we've said before, everybody is going to have their own account to hold these CBDCs, so they're going to have a Federal Reserve account. All right, let's go to the next slide. Pull that down, guys. Pay attention in there. Quit talking so I can get through this. All right, so let me go to the next one. Number three. Here we go. So the next one says, a CBDC could also pose certain risks and would raise a variety of important policy questions, including how it might affect financial sector market structure, the cost and availability of credit. So here's one of my questions. Give me your fastest answer so I can roll through a few more of these. What I'm gathering, and tell me if I'm wrong, if you have commercial banks that are now going to be replaced by a Federal Reserve dollar now, the central banks or the commercial banks really won't be needed other than to shuffle the paper for the Federal Reserve, because now everybody will have their personal or their commercial Federal Reserve account for themselves or their business. If you need to now go get a loan, you're not going to be getting it from that commercial bank through their fractional reserve banking, where they hold, you know, $9 out of $10 they let out, and they hold a dollar, whatever it is. So now they go to get a loan. The paperwork is done by the commercial bank for the Federal Reserve, but the Federal Reserve is not paying interest on your deposits, according to this report. What a great business scam. We're going to force you into central bank digital currencies. We're going to lie to you and tell you we're also going to make some paper available because we don't want to hurt the poor and other people. Baloney. They're going to push everybody into it. They're not going to pay you any interest. What a scam for the private public sector that's going to run this thing that they keep talking about. So we're going to force you into it, pay you no interest. Then if you want to get a loan, you go to the commercial bank who will shuffle our paper for us. We'll decide if we're going to give you a loan based on your ESG, your quality index, equity index, your social credit score. Then we'll decide the interest rate, and then we got to figure the interest rate so that the commercial bank can make some money in shuffling the paperwork. So is that what it means when they say they're not really sure how this is going to affect the cost of available credit? In other words, where you were dealing with your bank who charged an interest rate, now the Federal Reserve is going to make the interest, and then they're going to have to tack on more interest because now we've got more players involved in trying to take my money and interest. True or false?
Wow, that was so much. Let me answer all of that very, very quickly. So first of all, just to give you an analogy very quickly, if the federal government came out tomorrow and said that we are going to nationalize all ERISA-governed retirement accounts, the American citizenry would revolt and we would have martial law instantaneously. Like, we would have a major civil war situation happening the second that anyone talked about nationalizing retirement accounts. But it doesn't seem to be anybody's radar until you just said what you just said right now, Brandon, that this is exactly what they're doing. Now, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation chartered by Congress in 1913. However, that being said, most Americans sort of assume it's part of the federal government because they control the money supply through their open market operations and by setting the interest rate policy. We know this. So they absolutely pay. In fact, we are in a negative interest situation right now because they are getting so few interest in on this $8+ trillion of debt that they hold since Corona stimulus, yet they are paying in reverse repo money market lending overnight over 4%. So this is a massive problem. And what the Federal Reserve doesn't want to have to do anymore is control part of their monetary supply through basically commercial banks that do make the lending decisions. And so whenever they want to contract and make tighter restrictions, the Federal Reserve uses open market operations to do that, but they have to rely on the commercial banks to actually step up the lending requirements and make it tighter. Better to just get rid of the commercial banks. CBDCs is the end of the commercial banking world as we know it. I don't see their point, to be honest. They are completely redundant when you no longer have to have an entity that is actually creating money by taking deposits and making loans. That is ended. That would be over. Jerome Powell was on 60 Minutes last year and basically explained that most of the money creation is done digitally through zeros and ones. And when we go to central bank digital currency, it will be 100% zeros and ones.
So we're in a tough spot. So those who want to understand how to get out from underneath their thumb, their control, locking your life savings up, penalizing you, debiting you, you know, look what they did to us under COVID. Just watch what they're going to do, folks. They're following the Chinese model. They've already admitted it. So what do you think is going to happen to conservatives, America First people, Christians, people of faith? You know, it's not going to be good. So I don't give financial advice. I give financial opinion. She can. She's licensed to do that. My financial opinion is you don't want to be under their thumb. You want to put a percentage of your assets out of their reach legally. You want to pay off your debt. You want to be diversified. You want to be in hard assets and get ready for the collapse of the U.S. dollar. Now, again, disclaimer, she cannot help everyone. She's licensed, she has insurance, and she has employees, and she has rules she has to follow according to her trade practices, okay, that hold her license. People have to have a net worth of at least $250,000 or more to call and have her deal with them, okay? So if she doesn't return your phone call or, you know, whatever, you got to know. They do have to qualify people based on what are her requirements with her license and the things she holds. So you have to have at least a net worth of $250,000. If you do, then you can reach out to her, walzerfinancial.com. I think I got it right tonight.
Walzer Financial.
I did it wrong. Throw up my cheat sheet, guys. Walzerwealth.com. I did do it wrong. Walzerwealth.com. Walzerwealth.com for more information on that. Walzerwealth.com. Fair enough?
Fair enough, Brandon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca, checking in, folks. Check out her site, walzerwealth.com.